Welcome to today's edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's edition of Front Porch Talks originally played back on July 31st, 2012. It is my grandfather's testimony. He has since gone on to be with the Lord back on November 17th, 2014. And since my grandfather was saved on January 6, 1969, we thought this was a good time of year to replay his testimony. So I hope you enjoy Captain Billy Willis' testimony on today's edition of Front Porch Talks.
Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. I was reading from Psalm 107, verses 23 through 30. Welcome to this edition of Front Porch Talks. I'm Kerry Willis.
And I'm Grayson Willis, and we have a very special guest with us today on Front Porch Talks. If you'll remember a little while back, Dad and I did our testimonies, and we're going to go a little further back today, and we're going to talk with my grandfather, Captain Billy Willis. Papa, is, he's known to me, and he is Dad's dad. And Papa, welcome to Front Porch Talks. How are you doing?
Doing very well for an old guy.
That's a typical answer from my dad. And I read that scripture at the beginning because it is my dad's life verse, I guess you would say. He's grown up around the water all of his life, and he's going to get into that a little bit. But he loves Psalm 107, verses 23 through 30. And it just happened to be that Dad came to visit, and Grayson thought it would be a good idea to bring Dad into the Front Porch Talk studio and let him share a little bit of his testimony. You might be familiar with the book I wrote titled Relational Leadership, What I Learned from a Fisherman About Leading a Church. Well, this is that fisherman, and he's my dad. So if you want to go online and find that book, we have it on our website and on the Front Porch Talks page, and you can go anytime and listen to that. But today we have my dad here. And Dad, why don't you just go ahead and just start anywhere you want to and just go ahead and give us a little bit of testimony and let's talk good about Jesus.
Well, Kara's reading from the 107th Psalm. It has been my favorite ever since I met Jesus back when I was 28 years of age, back in 1969. I have been a seaman all my life, a fisherman out on the ocean. I put over 53 years out there, and this psalm means a lot to me. I have seen a lot of times that I would see little hope, and it has reminded me that of Jesus that gives us hope when we're out in the storms of life. I have seen at times when the wind will blow up to 70 miles an hour or more, and I would be out at sea and things look pretty dim, look like that it, easily the boat could capsize and we could have a loss of crew and all, but we always got through the storm, and not through and by my knowledge at sea or nothing I did, but when I would get in, I would think back of the calm, the great calm after the storm. And it relate to me that Jesus can calm all the storms of life as we go through life. We trust in him and put him first, and he is always the one that brings us through the situation. When we have no hope in sight, he is the one that brings us through the storms of life.
Papa, you mentioned that you've been a seaman your whole life, about 50 years on the sea. Talk a little bit about where you grew up and a little bit about your childhood.
Well, I was born on a little island down on coast of North Carolina, around the Outer Banks, Harker's Island to be exact. It's right near Cape Lookout National Seashore Park. I was born in the Willis family. My grandfather's John L. Willis. He was a fisherman himself, and then I was born to the son of his one son, Gray Willis. My father also was a commercial fisherman. Therefore, after I was out of school, I took up the trade to be with my father as we worked through the years on the boat together. As the time went on, I met my wife, Melba, and we got married, and I kept on pursuing my job and didn't really have any intentions of trying to do anything else. I was with my father. He was growing old, and I knew that he needed me, and I stuck with him when I had chances that I could have gone and worked with Civil Service. I turned it down because I knew that there'd be no one else that would care or help my father take the load off as I would. Well, my dad passed away in 72, and I've never been sorry that I stuck with him. He always told my mother, if it hadn't been for Billy, I would have had to go on ashore and gave up my line of work for many years past. So therefore, it made his life easier, and I've never regret the duty that I had I felt like to fulfill. But after he passed away, I went on doing water work. But Melba and I, like I say, we were high school sweethearts. And as we got through school later on in the summer after she graduated, we got married. I was traveling the coast down as far as Cape Canaveral, Florida at times. And my wife had received Christ in her life about a year before this. And I was down there, and I called home one Sunday. And she said, Billy, what would you say if I told you that I accept Christ in my life? I said, well, good for you. But I said to myself, kind of bad for me, because I was running from it. I was brought up in a holiness church. I knew the way that I should be going, but was running from the cause of Christ. But Melba's influence on the year had a big bearing on me. And a year later, I gave my life to Jesus. I was down in little town, little community out on the Outer Banks called Manio, Wanchees, North Carolina, be exact. We had been driven in there after a fierce wind gale. We were flounder fishing out at sea. And we went in that night for to have a little rest to get away from the storm. As we went to bed that night, I really didn't have anything on my mind far as conviction of accepting Christ. I knew I wasn't saved, but I had a dream. No doubt the dear Lord sent that dream to me. I had a dream that I carried my wife down to the church, one revival meeting going on, and put her out. As usual, I was running from it and had started home. Instead of making a right-hand turn and going home, in my dream, I ended up over on the ocean side of Shackelford Banks. As I was walking along the seashore there, I noticed a lot of people coming out of the sand dunes. And I realized that in that dream that they were to do me harm. So I was startled at that and was afraid. And I said, if those people are to catch me, I might as well take my chances in the ocean. I headed out in the ocean, and as I got out about, I guess, breast depth, there was two little white lifeboats came floating by, and I grabbed one of them and crawled inside that little lifeboat, and then I woke up. And when I woke up, I said, what kind of a dream was that? All of a sudden, I felt a mighty strange warm feeling that went across my chest, and I knew that it was the Holy Spirit trying to woo me unto him, trying to draw me into a new life. And I says, well, Lord, if that's you, let me feel that again. It left kind of quick. Startled me being it left so soon. And as I said, let me feel that again. I want something real. A warm feeling came across my chest again, and it just hovered right over my chest. And I began to see what really I need to do. And as I was laying there, like I say, from the dream, I was wide awake then. I won't say it was a vision, but I would say in my mind's eye, I could see Jesus hanging on the cross and the blood running from his brow, the thorns, a crown on his head, the pierced side, the nail, pierced hands and feet. And as I saw this, I began to break down and cry. So I was just so touched about the love that he showed. And something was telling me Billy, this could very well be your last opportunity to accept me as your Savior. And I realized that. I began to be startled in my heart and in my mind, so I had a different staring that I had never had before. So I began to see my need, and I said, Jesus, if that's you, just accept me as I am. And I began to quote that little song, Wash Me and I Shall Be Whiter Than Snow. And as I was quoting that song in my mind, laying there at 2 o'clock in the morning with no one else around to help pray me through or anything, just Jesus and I, it was just one-on-one. And as I began to quote that song, all of a sudden, I had such a refreshing feeling. It's just like on a July hot summer day. If you had come behind me and dumped a cool, refreshing bucket of water on my head, it just ran on down my face, ran on down to my chest, and I just felt so clean. Therefore, I knew the work had been done, that Christ had accepted me into his kingdom. That was a life-changing experience for me back in 1969. I never got over that experience. And I have been a different man ever since, trying my best to serve him and tell others. I'm not a minister by no means, but we are still witnesses of Jesus Christ when he calls us to a new life. And I just had a new, entire different outlook on life. The Lord has been so great to me. And 2 years later, in 1971, Jesus sanctified my soul to him by the Holy Spirit. And that gave me the stamina and the power to keep on keeping on when things got rough. The Holy Spirit has always been there to guide me and lead me. And if I know my heart, I want to be a witness to others as I go. I don't try to push anything on anyone, but when the opportunity knocks, I like to really have the privilege to tell what Jesus did for me. And I must say, Christ is not a disappointment. He is a true gentleman. I have found him that times when you feel like that you maybe have failed him somewhat, you can always say, help me, Lord, not to ever think anything or do anything that would be unpleasing to you. And he's always there to let us know that our sins are covered by the blood. And it's just been my privilege. 43 years, I suppose it's been now, to serve the Lord. And in my line of work now, as I go, a little different line of work, I'm working with the NC Ferry Division, working around a lot of guys there. Some know Jesus, and an awful lot do not. And I'm trying my best, not myself, but through and by Jesus and the blessed Holy Spirit, to witness for others and let him know that we can be a light in whatever situation, whatever community we're working in. If we'll furnish the man, he furnished the grace to help us to live a life and be pleasing unto him. Thank you very much, and may God bless you, and hope we meet together in heaven someday.
Well, that's a great story, Papa. And one of the things I want to point out that I love hearing about that story is when you told Granddaddy Gray, who is your father, on the boat that next morning about your dream and about how you got saved in the boat that night, and what he said to you is just priceless. He said, well, you're going to make your mother, Granny Marjorie, a happy woman, the happiest woman on earth. And that is definitely a testament to how much she prayed for you.
I'm glad Grayson talked first, because I wasn't able to say anything after hearing my daddy share his story, because I know it's a true story. I experienced it. I was just a young boy when daddy came home after that experience. I remember sitting in the house with granny and mom, and when dad came through the door, granny took one look at his face, and she knew something had happened to her boy. And I remember shouting all through the house. Now, if you know what shouting is, that's when the glory comes down. She prayed a lot of years for her boy, and he had come to Christ. And it was a wonderful experience, and I never got over it either. So, Dad, I'm glad that you would come here and give us the opportunity to hear that story fresh and anew. And we're going to play a song here after Grayson has a prayer. And we're so glad you could tune in. Of course, for Grayson and I, this makes it all worth it on Front Porch Talks when we're able to hear our own family share the faith. And we believe that it's a really example of what this program is supposed to be. We've placed this program under the verse in Revelation that says, we overcome by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. And we know the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, is never in question. And our testimony should never be in question either. So today we've been able to hear this testimony, and I can tell you firsthand that Dad is an overcomer by the blood of Jesus and the word of his testimony. God bless you, and I hope your heart has been refreshed.
Well, Papa, I just want to thank you for the example that you've set and for the impact that you've had on mine and Dad's life as well as the rest of our family. It's just a great testament to God's grace and his love for us. I just appreciate that. I just want to pray for you. Lord, we thank you for Papa's life and for what he's meant to our family and the example that he's set for us and how he continues to be a witness as he works on the ferry, Lord, and continues to witness to those who he comes in contact with who don't know you, Lord. We know that you've used him to have a huge impact for your glory in his life, Lord. We thank you for his testimony and for Nanny and also for his mom, Granny Margie, for praying for him, which ultimately led to his being saved, Lord, I truly believe. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I hope that you will understand a little bit better about my testimony and Dad's testimony after hearing my grandfather's testimony. We invite you to tune into the next edition of Front Porch Talks. May God bless.
Away from the shore where the sky meets the sea, there are dark clouds on the horizon, and the calm before the storm is calling out to me to take to the higher ground. A word to the wise is sufficient, and only a fool would ignore. And I have been a fool in these angry waves, so I'm turning my heart for the shore. Master of this heart of mine, O my captain of the sea, you have calmed the angry waves. Could you call song, whispering my name in the night time, and often as not I would follow along, forsaking this solid ground. But sailing through uncharted waters is not the life that is seen to be. I would gladly trade this weathered sail to be back where the land meets the sea. Master of this heart of mine, O my captain of the sea, you will calm the angry waves. Could you calm master of my heart. Calm the storm in me now. As I seek your face, help me understand that it's by your grace that I am free, justified by the Lamb at Calvary. As I find my place with your guiding hand, may I soon embrace all you've planned for me, just to know the Lamb who died, just to know the Lamb who died.